We've actually sang a lot about Emmanuel today. That word, Emmanuel, it's a Christmas word because it's a name that describes Jesus, which makes it a Christmas word. But to really understand that word and to understand Christmas, you actually have to go back a lot farther than just that first Christmas. You got to go way back before Jesus was even born, when that word Emmanuel was actually used for the first time. In fact, you have to go 700 years before Jesus. 700 years before that very first Christmas, there was a nation, the nation of Israel, and they were going through some really tough times. There was captivity and all sorts of trials and tribulations and no peace, only chaos. And in the middle of that, God would speak through these prophets, and he would speak kind of to the nation to encourage them sometimes to correct them and head them in a better direction. And there was a prophet by the name of Isaiah, and God spoke through Isaiah, and he used this beautiful word that described something really significant. In fact, it described Christmas, it described hope that would one day come to earth. Here's what God actually said through that prophet Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel. There's that word. It's a significant word. It means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. In fact, the name is so important because it signified something about God. That name implied that God wasn't some distant, far-off spirit. He wasn't some disinterested God. He wasn't some global cop waiting to catch you and tell you what you've done wrong. The word Emmanuel, God with us, carried a connotation of closeness, of care, of concern, of God never being surprised, never being caught off guard, always with you, always for you. And it's so hard to imagine in a way, but if you were living as a Jewish person in the time of this prophet Isaiah, to hear that word meant so much to you because you had been praying for God to intervene and asking God to show up. In fact, you may have even been wondering if God has been paying attention. Is he actually for you? Does he want to be with you? Is he looking around and seeing what's happening? Because certainly he would do something. Of course, he was planning to do something. And isn't it true that we can kind of relate to that? Like we can relate to that emotion of wondering if God is paying attention, wondering if he knows what's happening. Because we've all been in seasons or at least experienced moments where we have asked for God to intervene and we've wondered if he's paying attention. And maybe the prayer that you prayed looked a little different. Maybe it sounded different. Maybe you're not even like a God church person, but even in the midst of your trial, you found yourself saying, I don't know, God, if you're even real, but if you are, I really need your help. I need you. You didn't pray it this way, but basically what you were praying is the same thing that they were hoping for 27 or so hundred years ago. O come, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel. Have you been there before? Like, can you remember what that felt like? Can you remember the emotion of that? Maybe it was a long time ago, or maybe it wasn't that long ago. Maybe it's right now. Maybe you feel that right now, wondering, where is God? Is he paying attention? Does he know I exist? Does he know about the things going on? So some of you, this Christmas season is that. Christmas is supposed to be this joyous season, but for a lot of us, it's a difficult season. In fact, some of you are probably going through Christmas for the first time with something that you're carrying. Or maybe this is the first Christmas without. Maybe this is the first Christmas after the tragedy, after the loss. It can be a really hard season, and you find yourself asking that same prayer, don't you? O come, Emmanuel. God, I need you. God, I can't do this without you. It's almost like that song, Silent Night, isn't it? But the song, Silent Night, is a beautiful story. Because on this side of that prophecy, and on this side of Christmas, that very first Christmas, that birth of Jesus, there's actually a lot of hope. Silent nights don't have to be lonely nights. In fact, they can be joyful nights because God did do something. He did intervene. He did fulfill that promise. In fact, if you go to that very first Christmas, there were some guys who reflected on what God had done. Four guys specifically wrote about it in our New Testament Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when we tell the Christmas story, we usually read it out of Luke's version. It's so poetically written. It's so beautiful. It's the one we're most familiar with. But if you read Matthew's Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, see, Matthew was a Jewish tax collector. He was the worst of the worst. And then Jesus saw him and said, hey, come follow me. And he became a disciple. And Matthew's silent nights were really terrible nights, until Jesus showed up and invited him to follow. And for the next 3.5 years, Matthew saw the most dramatic things. He watched God doing something. And so when Matthew decided to document all that he had seen, Matthew wrote it like this. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people, all people, from their sins. As Matthew was reflecting on that, he continues and he says, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, what Matthew understood was that he was living on the other side of a fulfilled promise. He wasn't living with just hope that something would happen. He was living on the other side that something had happened, that God had done something, that God had come to be with us. In fact, Emmanuel, God with us, was a promise that was now fulfilled, not something just to look forward to. In fact, that's really the story of Christmas. Christmas is the celebration of a fulfilled promise. In fact, the greatest news of all is a fulfilled promise. That's why when you read Luke's version of the Christmas story, he uses the phrase good news a lot. Because what could be better news than God loves you so much that he decided to send his son to live and die in your place so that you don't have to? What an incredible good news. Matthew, as he was reflecting on it, and Luke, as they were reflecting on it, Luke writes it a little differently. You've probably heard Luke's version. I'll give you a short bit as a reminder. Here's what Luke wrote. But an angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news for all people. Good news that will cause great joy for everyone. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, Jesus, Emmanuel. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And what's so beautiful about that whole idea is that Emmanuel, God with us, when Jesus came, became Emmanuel, God with you, like personally. This isn't like a national thing. It's a very personal thing that God sent Jesus for you to be your Emmanuel, to be your Messiah, to be your Savior. In fact, Christmas reminds us that Jesus is with us because God is for us. Jesus is with you because God is for you. And I know, you think, well, is that true? I mean, if he knew everything I've done, he does know everything. Well, if he understood how I felt, he knows how you feel. In fact, he empathizes with how you feel, and he still loves you, and he's still pursuing you, not to pay you back, but to win you back, to embrace you back. In fact, that's the story of Christmas. A God who loves you so much, he wasn't willing to let you just run away. He wanted to win you back. So he sent the thing most precious to him, his son, to do just that. And you know what that means, right? On the other side of that prophecy that's now fulfilled on our side of it, it means that there really are no more silent nights that are lonely nights. There is no more hopelessness. There's just hope. There may be trouble, but there's peace. There may be chaos, but there's a lot of calm in it because God is with us. That's the story of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with you, here and now, and really for forever. We love to celebrate that, kind of in a tradition here at Woodstock City. Every year, we close our Christmas service by singing Silent Night together, and we do that as we kind of hold candles. And the reason we do candles is because the light of the candle represents something significant. It represents Jesus, the light of the world. And so today we're gonna do that again. And as we light these candles, for some of you, that flickering little light of life, that light is gonna remind you of your relationship with Jesus that isn't new for you. In fact, you've had that relationship and it's been a growing, beautiful relationship for years and years or maybe for decades. So as we light those candles and sing a song together, maybe it'll remind you of how much Jesus has done for you. For some of you, 2019 is the year that you decided to follow Jesus for the first time. What a beautiful moment this is. That for the very first time, you're gonna experience Christmas as a follower of Jesus. As we light a candle and sing together, that candle that you hold is gonna represent your new life, your new hope that you have found in that relationship, your new relationship with Jesus. And you know, for some of us in the room, that light is gonna represent an opportunity. It's gonna represent an opportunity for you to follow, to decide to put your faith in Jesus. And if you think about it, you've tried to do all this on your own before. How's that going for you? How much peace do you have? How much hope have you felt? How chaotic is it without a lot of calm? I wonder if Jesus really is the answer. What if God really is here to be with you, to support you, to love you, to care for you? Maybe that light represents an opportunity for you to lean a little more into that and discover if Jesus really is who we think that he is.